Winter, still winter. Mowage. Mowage is a... Oh, wait. Sorry, wrong show. So, it's no. Princess Bride. No. Okay. Let me just do the thing. Okay. All right. So, brought to you from the shores of Lake Wobegon. No, can't use that one either. Shores of Lake Mead. That's what you're suggesting. Shores of Lake Mead. Looking out at the beautiful sunny skies of Grand Canyon or some other place where the Lake Mead would be. I don't even know where that is.
We're about to set sail on our houseboat.
Oh, Lake Mead in Utah. I like that.
It's
in Nevada. Okay. What's the one in Utah? All right, can we just do this? It's late at night, and it's another exciting episode, another splendiferous exploration of all things guitar. Guitar Talk with John and Jamie. This is John.
This is Jamie.
How come... Nah, I'm not going there. Okay, so...
I'm just trying to get a word in, Mr. Filibuster.
Filibuster. You feel filibustered?
We are going to talk about something tonight that...
I don't feel like a Republican. I don't like that.
Today, whenever you're listening. John, this is something that you have a considerable experience with because we're going to talk about injuries.
Injuries.
And how they can impact your ability to play. And how they can affect your overall outlook and well-being as it pertains to music and gigging and getting around.
You have injuries.
Nothing debilitating on a full-time basis. You know, I recently had a pretty crazy bout of bursitis that laid me out for the better part of a week where I literally couldn't play. I had like Bob Dole arm, you know, where I was paralyzed.
Your right arm.
Right arm.
Right arm, right shoulder. Okay.
Yeah, and it was one of the most painful things I've ever experienced in my entire life. And it was even freakier because I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was going on.
I remember you called me. Yeah,
yeah, I was freaked out. I didn't know what was happening. I was like, what is going on? And then finally...
Who did you end up seeing?
I went to an orthopedist in L.A., and he... you know, took x-rays and everything. And he was like, yeah, it's bursitis with acute inflammation.
So what does bursitis actually mean?
My understanding of what it actually means is that it's, I'll tell you what it means. It means a lot of pain.
Yeah.
But I think what it means is there's these little, these little sacks of, I was trying to avoid using that word, but these little sacks that run alongside the tendons in your arms, and if one
what,
of
like
those,
lymph nodes, or?
I guess, and they're almost like ball bearings, is sort of okay. The way it was described. And if one of those rupture, it can get infected and become inflamed. And I think that's
infection. I didn't know that. It's not like arthritis or something.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but you know, I don't think it's not arthritis because it's not, you know, it'll go away and
okay. And
you can treat it and it goes away after a while.
Well, There's a lot of levels of injury, and almost every musician I know in one way or another has been impacted. I mean, all my friends who are serious horn players, the woodwind guys all have sort of pressure-related syndromes. You know, the whole thing with Michael Brecker where he, you know, you ever see those videos where he had to wear the neck brace around his neck?
Yeah.
You know, because he blew out all the muscles in his neck.
Yeah.
All the guys who have blowback pressure, all the guys who have – did you know that there's a thing with, like, horn players, brass players, where that the brass – actually, they play that is in so much contact with their lips that it actually osmotically diffuses into their bloodstream and over a long period of time can actually cause problems. Like the actual brass. Yeah, the brass can, it's like a toxic poisoning.
Yeah.
It's like people with bad, you know, the bad fillings in teeth. It's like the same sort of thing.
That's crazy. And then what about the horn players that have, they lose their teeth. You know, after a while, like their teeth, and they can't, you know, they can't. Play anymore, like trumpet players.
Embolisms also. Embolisms are really common, like because of the pressure or against the back pressure. A buddy of mine, Dave Boroff, was telling me about how first trumpet players have a lot of headaches and problems with that. Then there's violinists, cellists, and all the string players who have neck injuries, cervical neck injuries from holding the violin, back, really common back injuries. It's a really common thing amongst musicians to have nerve induction stuff down our left arms because a lot of us play, most of us, we're right-handed. You know, have stuff where like the neck gets impinged upon. All those headbanger guys, dude, when you see those videos from the 80s where they're all swinging their heads around like that, it's a joke because they're all in like in major pain and chiropractic stuff, you know, that, yeah. you know, this. And then there's.
Didn't that happen to Rick James? Like, seriously, he had like, they actually called it like rock and roll neck syndrome or something like that. From like, you know.
Bobbing your head like that?
Bobbing his head. He got in, you know.
Like, I don't know. I mean
like all the metal guys are going to get.
Yeah,
all,
yeah, like exactly. The, Rick James
yeah,
neck.
Yeah, the guys in Meshuggah are going to, you know, Frederick is going to have like.
Rick James neck, yeah.
But for guitar players, probably some of the more common injuries for guitar players are, you know, tendonitis, wrists, carpal tunnel, shoulder injuries. I know Pete Griffin from you know, Zappa Plays Zappa. He dealt with that the whole time that we were in the band together, icing his shoulder every night. And
Tim Scott, the bass player I played with, had carpal tunnel in both hands.
Yeah.
Had the surgery.
I mean, guys, like back injuries are real common.
Well, that's right? what we're gonna talk about, those. But back and spinal stuff are really common. You know, hand and neck, I've learned a lot about neck because you know my injuries, but I mean, it's, I don't know, there's a sudden injury, there's long-term injury, there's repetitive motion injury, there's health, and then there's the extremes, you know, like Jason Becker, the guy who ended up with ALS.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I don't know if you call that an injury, that's just, but you know, really debilitated to the point where he can't play anymore.
Absolutely. That wasn't really something that was necessarily brought on by, you know, from playing as a result of playing.
No, that's probably either environmental or.
But not to downplay with what he has. He's an amazing guy and his story is just.
Yeah, that movie Perpetual Burn is worth seeing, by the way. Anybody out there who's not knowing about it, there's an amazing movie about Jason Becker and what happened to him with ALS and his ability to continue in making music and his participation in doing that. And it's an extraordinary movie worth seeing.
It's very inspiring, to say the least.
The guy basically makes music by moving his eyes and looking at a computer. It's extraordinary. And it's good music. It's like amazing.
And so, you know, like I have my knees. I've had my knees are messed up. And I know that yours are too. And I know a lot of people, it's not an uncommon injury just in general. But the way that I injured my knees, this is something that a lot of people probably don't think about. It is a playing related injury because from years of moving gear, I used to have a truck and I would always play with a 412, and I would lift the thing up and I would kind of like pivot on one leg and lift it into the bed of my truck. And from doing that, I tore the meniscus in both knees. And it was, you know, and it got so bad that I was like, I'd be hobbling around and limping. And I went to the doctor and got an MRI, and he was like, you know, and I'm not a big, heavy guy. I'm, you know, and he's like, how did you do this? He goes, usually we see these injuries in people that are, you know, athletes, or they're obese.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, meniscus tears, or what your particular meniscus tear was?
I guess just in general.
Oh. Because I have meniscus tears.
And he's like, how do you do this? And I'm like, well, you know, let's see. And, you know, I figured out how I did it. You know, it's from moving gear. Because I was paying attention, and one day I was doing the same thing and lifting it, and I turned. And then I could feel it, and I'm like, that's how I did it. Just from over time, because I would do that. I was doing, you know, you're constantly moving gear. As a working musician and someone that's working, you know, a lot on a local or a regional level, a lot of times you don't have a road crew. And when you're just humping gear from your house to whatever gig you're doing, you're moving your own gear, lifting into the trunk of your car, into the bed of your truck, into the back seat or whatever. And you're doing these weird movements and motions. And, you know, you screw yourself up pretty good over time. You can really do that. And then there's the injuries that are directly related to playing. Like, you know, like my left shoulder is, you know, it's like
carpal tunnel. What was the one? Tinnitus.
Yeah. Well, no, I have tinnitus.
Tinnitus.
Tinnitus in my ear.
In yours, tinnitus. That's what I said. I'm sorry.
But that's not a shoulder thing.
I was referring to both.
Yeah. And then there's those, the ear things, you know.
Hearing loss is an injury. I consider that an injury. I actually have been very careful with my ears. I always wear plugs. I don't have any ringing. And I'm you know, knocking wood on that.
The fact you have no ringing in your ears after, I mean, how many years of playing? Just
44 years.
Even if you are careful, is amazing to me. I've got a horrible ringing in my ears.
Yeah. We talked about that. You said you heard two notes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like my injuries were over time. When my son was born, I fell off a ladder and I fractured two vertebrae and really screwed up the discs in my lower part of my back. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was a really long-term injury where I would sneeze wrong or I would step wrong and I would see a flash of white light and I would go down. And then I would walk really funny for 3 months, 2 or 3 months at a time. And it got progressively worse over a long period of time. I did physical therapy and I did acupuncture and chiropractic and massage and yoga. And various things worked for a little while. And then I would relapse. You know, it would just go out really bad. And you've seen me when I was in bad shape. Yeah. I mean, I'm where I can't walk and I can't get in another car and I'm screaming because it hurts a lot. I mean, it hurts a lot. And one of the downsides, actually, also as a musician, and this isn't casting aspersions on anybody who's gone through this or not, is the sobriety aspect of it. Is when you have a severe injury, I went through an opiate phase where I was the only thing that would control it was opiates. And I don't, you know me, I can barely drink water. I don't do well with inebriates. I went to a rehearsal with these guys, my band once, where I had to take a Demerol because I was in so much pain. And I thought I played great.
Yeah.
And they were like, don't do that again. Please don't come here again like that. Yeah. You know, and it's like that kind of thing. And then there's the unspoken side of injuries, which is the depressive aspect, which is like long-term pain and aspect, playing is really painful. And then for me, I don't know, it was like 5, 6 years ago, I was in Japan and I was on tour and I was playing at the Blue Note and I hurt my neck really badly. I herniated 4 discs in my neck simultaneously and I lost feeling in my left arm. And for about a year, I really couldn't feel my left arm. A year and a half, I couldn't feel it. And when I would play, I could force my hand to do stuff, but it wasn't really controlled. And it took, I think 2 or 3 years of physical therapy and I didn't have the surgery. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys have the surgery, but my buddy who had the same injury, who's a dental surgeon, had the same injury, had the surgery and lost the use of his hands. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not giving up playing just yet. And so I live with, there's a kind of fear like all the time for me that I'm going to hurt myself. And I do gigs and I'm in pain, like pretty much most of the time. My left knee is blown. My right knee was blown, but healed. And my blowing of my knees, by the way, was not where it was. My first knee I blew, I was in New York. I was just packing my suitcase coming back from a gig. Mm-hmm. And I just knelt down the wrong way and it popped. And it healed over 2 or 3 months. My left knee, I was teaching a meditation class and a girl asked me how you sit, with your legs folded on a cushion. And I went to show her. And she was my fiance. And she feels bad about it. And I crossed my legs. And as I folded my leg, my knee popped. And I tore the meniscus. And the problem with the meniscus tear is also, for us, in moving heavy gear and doing that stuff, is it escalates up the body. Like if you're limping, your lower back can go out. If you have back problems, it all connects.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest part as a musician, for me at least, has been I've been on gigs where, I was telling you earlier today, like I was strapped into a chair with ice, behind my back and just strapped into the chair and playing for the night. And, it's choiceless. I'm very careful lifting gear now and I work with the injury, but it affects me for sure. Like I know if I have to do a gig where I have to stand for 2 or 3 hours on a stage, I worry. Mm-hmm. Am I really going to be able to do this? I try and get near where there's a monitor and I can put a leg up, or get some pressure off my back, but now I got to ask you a question. Now, do you think that this is a function of our age and that because we're in our late 40s and early 50s that, we're seeing more of this around us? Or do you think that it's because I don't remember having to deal with this stuff when I was in my 20s and 30s. I wish I'd known more about it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, I definitely think just for me, it feels like it's something that's cumulative, that's just come on over the course of a lot of years of playing. And it's just sort of the cumulative effects of all that. Now I have a shoulder that's always kind of messed up, I've never really had any trouble with my wrists. I've been lucky with that. I mean, my wrists do, sometimes they'll hurt or get a little bit sore. But I mean, I know guys that have had full on like tendonitis,
carpal tunnel, about that,
to the point where they they either do the surgery or they elect to not do the surgery. But I know 2 people that, they couldn't play.
Right.
They were like, you can't play for 6 months. I mean, can you imagine you can't play guitar for 6 months,
Or you give up.
Yeah. I would go nuts because it's such a, there's such almost a physical addiction to, it's like if I'm sitting around and I'm bored, I just grab a guitar and play.
But you also have really strong hands for that's another thing I've noticed. Like my hands at my age after playing guitar for 40 years are tired. Like that, I don't have my hand strength that I used to have. You have incredibly, we played a gig tonight, Jamie and I.
It's really nice, really nicely done, and use it in the deluxe, and it just was blowing my mind.
Okay, so but we're back to our subject, because what do you bring to a gear? My criterion, and you know, we I lent Jamie my telly that that Lonnie Spector made for me. It's like a little put together guitar, assemble parts, and it's not the easiest guitar to play. And you know, I have to struggle with it. There's a pretty high string tension, and you tore through it tonight. You know, you were like, you know, yeah, I had to work it, but it, I mean, you sounded beautiful on it. You did some amazing things, and your hand strength is really impressive, because a lot of the guys in our age group that I know all say the same thing, that their hands are tired.
See, I don't really get that. I don't get my hands just get tired when I was younger.
Okay.
I felt like I hadn't built them up enough. And now I don't, you know, that could be a byproduct also of, you know, being in ZPZ and playing those long shows, you know, and just kind of building up stamina. But I mean, I don't really get the thing where my hands get, you know, where I start getting tired. But I used to, when I was in my 20s, I would get that really bad.
Huh.
Where I would start getting my hands and my wrist would start getting winded, you know.
I got winded
trying
tonight.
To play long, you know, long lines and long, you know, strings of notes.
Yep.
And now I don't get that at all. And I think that I play differently than I did then. And it is, I'm actually more relaxed now when I play. And I think
I was watching tonight, you know, and it was pretty amazing. We played two sets. For me, by halfway through the second set, my hands were tired.
I was just kind of getting warmed up. I was like, you know, but it's, yeah, that's something that I don't get. I'll get, you know, like my shoulder will start hurting, and then that can radiate down into my arm.
Right.
And that can affect me that way. But it's always interesting, you know, to talk to guys. I mean, I'm sure that getting older, I'm sure that there is.
And we can picture someone listening to the show going, yeah. Oh man, these two old fuckers are just talking shit because they're just, you know, they're old fuckers. And you know,
you'll
it's like,
see you kids.
You kids and your guitar playing.
Get off of my lawn.
Yeah.
And,
But I mean, but how do you deal with it? Like, I mean, I know for me, like I've struggled, you know, with there is an emotional impact and a discipline that I have to do where I have to really take care and be really aware of how I'm moving my equipment, how I'm standing on stage, whether I'm, you know, what I'm carrying, how far I'm going, what I'm doing. And it's, you know, it's like part of what I think about. Like if I have a lot, like this month I'll play 24 nights this month, 24 nights.
Wow.
And except for the four nights a month where I'm at the place we play tonight,
mm-hmm.
I'm standing up for 3 hours. Playing, I'm really aware that this is coming, and I'm doing as much as I can. Like I'm going to chiropractic twice a week, and I'm trying to stretch out, and I go to the gym, and you know, I'm really aware of what I have to do in order to be able to make it through these 24 nights. You know,
yeah. There's, I know we bring his name up a lot, John Ziegler.
John Ziegler.
He's just, you know, he's a very close friend, and he's a colleague, and
he's in almost every show we mentioned.
Yeah,
we love you, John.
But you know, I play with him every week at the Big Potato. We play together in the Monday night band there. And you know, he recently, I don't know if he'd mind me saying this, but I'm gonna.
Okay.
You know, he hurt his, he like broke his toe recently. He, you know, had a, you know, toe injury. He broke his toe.
Toes are fine.
If you've ever, I've never broken a toe, but apparently that's like one of the most painful. Like,
because you're always stepping on it.
Yeah, and they don't do anything. You can't do anything for
right.
it. Like, they don't reset the toe and put it, you know,
right.
they just tell you.
Toe cast.
Yeah, they just tell you keep off of it and you don't put any weight on it. So he's been playing a lot sitting down.
Okay.
And there's the big debate, you know, because I said to you, it's like, you know, hey man, just take a stool and sit down at the gigs, you know, and you were like, oh, I don't know if that's cool. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there is a thing. It's like, it's not my show.
Yeah.
And there's a visual aesthetic and you know, there's a visual aesthetic of, you know, sitting down on the stand. It's kind of like, it's kind of a very casual kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not Jeff Baxter, you know, Jeff Baxter somehow, I don't know how he did it, but he made sitting down cool with the Doobie Brothers. You know, I mean, it's like a really cool thing, but I mean, if you really are honest, how many bands can you think of that you look up and the guitar player's sitting down?
Well, yeah, it depends on what it is. If it's a type of thing where it's a, you know, where it's a rock show, then yeah, you're probably not going to see the guys.
Blues, soul, rhythm and blues, funk. It's.
I mean, but it depends on what kind of show it is. If it's something where, you know, you're backing up a singer and then you're her backup band, you're kind of in the shadows anyways, you know, then.
You know, no, I agree as a band leader that I don't have a problem with it, but it's when you're a side man, you know, that I my hesitation when you said this to me was, you know, I mean, I'll ask her, and I talked to the drummer about it tonight, and he said, yeah, she's, you know, the band leader's very cool, and you can ask this question and see, you know, suppose, but my leaning is that I need to be prepared to be professional and stand up for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
I lost a gig once because I went to I went to the first rehearsal with them, and which, unbeknownst to me, was actually kind of an audition. I was on. They had basically told me, it's like, hey, it's your gig. Come, we're going to get together and play. But I was sitting down at the rehearsal, and they were like, hey, man, can you stand up, and maybe move around? And I was like, well, if like the gig, I will if you want me to. And then, like, and I was a little taken aback that they would, you know, be that uptight about me sitting down at rehearsal. And then they later told me, yeah, we're just going to go with this other guy. You know, I got the call after, you know, a couple of days later. I was like, well, you know, you didn't stand up when we said, I was just stunned. And I'm still stunned, I think, about it. And
you want to say who it was?
I can't even remember. It was just someone who was like a no name.
Oh.
It was just like for some, you know, they were doing club stuff. It was really a horrible band. But you know who the bass player was? I do remember who the bass player was, and I will mention his name, and maybe he can remember who it was if he's listening. Francesco DiCosmo was Francis, he's a great bass player and singer. But he was a bass player on the band. And I remember talking to him, and I was like, they really got uptight about me, like, just grabbing a chair. I'm just trying to, like, learn the tunes and play the tunes and get the feel for the, you know. I'm like, man, it wasn't showtime at the Apollo here. We're just, like, rehearsing. But apparently that was the audition, and they wanted to see, you know, they wanted to, like, see my stage presence.
But there is a factor. Okay, so there is a factor about age and ageism and stuff. Like the band that I'm in, it's a really great group, and we're working a lot, and they're all in my age group. So there's a lot more sort of compassion about it. But there is a thing, you know, if we're auditioning for younger pop acts or something like that, where how we present ourselves visually and what we can do based on our injuries. Like, I know for a fact that I'm not going to get a national tour of the pop act when I go in and I go, well, you know, I'm going to be hobbling on stage sometimes, and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to want to sit down, and I'm, you know, but they're going to look at me and go, like, except for maybe Diana Krall hiring me, because Diana Krall lets Anthony Wilson, what's her guitar? Is it Anthony Wilson?
I don't know,
but she lets her guitar player sit down.
Well, yeah, shows like that, like a Nora Jones.
Nora Jones,
and like, you know, everyone's sitting down, and so it's a really casual kind of, it's not that kind of a thing where they're all, you know.
Sitting down isn't always the cure. I mean, like, I need to move. I mean, I need to sit and stand and move. And
it's uncomfortable to sit down for a lot, because then you're hunched over the guitar, then you're
a lot of pressure on your back. Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. I mean, it basically comes down to the band leader, but, you know, it isn't very metal to be sitting down, let's put it that way.
And I like standing up. I mean, energetically, I feel like moving, and, you know, sometimes, you know, it depends on body posture and what you're doing, but it's like, I think the biggest hurdle, at least an injury, like, I have one injury that actually was a really strange injury. It was, I lived in France when I lived in Nice, and everybody had these little pocket knives that were, like, you know, for peeling apples and fruit, and when you go out, because a lot of times, you know, food would be like, you'd grab like a sausage and some bread and some cheese, and you'd sit out wherever you were eating, and you cut it up. So everybody had these little pocket knives, but they were basically like straight razors, like super sharp. And I cut my finger, my left hand, diagonally across the knuckle, all the way to the bone. Okay. Like, I just, it was a slice, and it was really quick, and it was all around. And I went to the emergency room, and, you know, the emergency room, and I'm sitting in the emergency room, and I look at the guy, and I go, you know, I'm a musician. Do we need to get a hand surgeon? You know, is this going to be necessary or not? So he goes, oh, no, don't worry. It's just, you know, it's a deep cut, but it's shut, you know, it's shut. It's three stitches, four stitches. I'll sew you up, and we'll get it going. Right.
Yeah.
So that night I put a bandage, big giant bandage on my hand. Filling up with blood and stitches. And I go to this session, and I'm playing with three fingers, right? Yeah. Just to do the thing. And my buddy, the producer, comes out, and he goes, John, this is our mommy. We really like you a lot, but we're going to send you home because we can't filter out the screaming. Because I was screaming and I was playing. And that finger, when it healed, it took me a year. I had to, like, do like that, you know, that thing I have, the spinny ball thing. I had to do that for like a year to be able to bend my finger again. Because the guy did these three freaking stitches and didn't think the fact that he made it so tight that I couldn't do that.
Did it injure the tendon?
No, it was just that the skin when it healed was so tight that I couldn't bend it. Now, I mean, you can see I can bend, but it's that kind of stuff. It's like little things and big things. And when I, you know, I go on posts and I go on the forums, I'm on the gear page, and I see people posting about injuries all the time. And it's, you know, there's not a lot of compassionate discussion about, First of all, the physical injury aspect, what the best, you know, options are. Mm-hmm. Second of all, what to do in the professional situation, what to do. And third of all, the psychological aspect, which is, you know, it's actually debilitating when you can't feel your arm or your neck hurts or you can't do your work. You can't hear. You were saying to me that you can't go to sleep without like a air conditioner or a white noise generator of some kind because it hurt your ears.
Yeah, I have to have a fan or an air conditioner or music or, you know, TV or something.
I've heard people, like I heard that Pete Townsend almost went crazy from tinnitus.
Yeah, it's really nuts. If I, you know, I, you know, there are certain things that will, like, sometimes running water, like a faucet will cancel it out and I can, you know, not. Like it's at the same frequency, you know, sometimes things like that, I'll take notice of things that help.
But does it affect your overall hearing? Like when we were working with the recordings and I was saying, I hear this high end hiss for you, you say it sounds like a little bit of tape hiss.
Yeah. And then there's also, I use an Echoplex as part of my rig at the Big Potato. And it's an old, my Echoplex is old. I have to rebuild it every few months, you know, cause it's old and decrepit. But lately it's developed a squeak. One of the pinch rollers will squeak, and you know, and Chris Roy's like, you know, our bass player Chris Roy on the Monday night gig, one night he was like, "What is that? What is that noise? What is that squeaking?" And I'm like, "I don't hear anything. What are you talking about?" And if you know Chris Roy, you know that he loves to mess with you. He loves to fuck with you, and he really loves to mess with me, and so. First of all, my initial default reaction is to just not believe him and think that he's, you know, trying to mess with me. So I'm like, shut up. There's no noise. He's like, no, I'm totally serious. And then he asked a couple people that were in the club, do you hear that? And someone is sitting on, you know, across the room. They're like, yeah, what is that? You know, what is it? And I'm still not believing him. But then he finally convinced me that my Echoplex was actually making a squeaking noise. And I couldn't hear it. Couldn't hear it at all.
Do you know what your shelf is? Do you know what the shelf is?
I don't. I haven't had it actually.
So it's probably above 8K.
Yeah. And it's something way up there. But so things like that, you know, I mean, you got to
work with it. How can we, it's interesting because, you know, I've never really had this discussion with other musicians. I mean, my musician friends who know me know my injury. I mean, they all know, I mean, everybody who works with me knows that I have a bad back and that it's something that I have to deal with. But at the same time, there's not a lot of resource, like, except for like the House Hearing Institute in LA that where you can go to get the plugs, and those plugs are problematic for me. I get conduction through my mastoid bone when I wear those plugs, and I get this weird sort of resonance in my head where everything sounds distant and hollow, and I can't really use them for, you know, playing.
You're talking about the custom molded.
Yeah. The custom molded plugs.
Set of those as well with the,
and you can't sing with those. I can't sing with them.
It's, and they take a lot of getting used to be able to play with them in. Like I'll have them in, and then when it comes time to solo, I'll take them out.
Right.
Because it's,
and you can't do it when you're doing your in ears. How about when you're doing your in ears?
In ears are it's kind of the same thing, but they're different because with in ears you're hearing things. Right. And if you have a good monitor guy and you can get a good mix, but still, when it comes time to solo, hearing your own guitar back, it's just not the same. And what I would routinely do is when it came time to solo, I would pop one out.
Wow.
I always had, like in the ZPZ show, there was always a part where all the band solos came at a certain time. And so during that part of the show, you know, like if I knew Billy Halting was taking a solo and I knew that I was going to go next, during his solo, I would take it out and I would tuck it in my shirt. Uh-huh. And then I would play, and then after I was done playing, I'd step back,
interesting,
and fish it out and put it back in as stealthily as I could.
But yeah, so there's preventative stuff we do. There's preventative stuff. There's maintenance stuff. There's going to the gym. There's rehab. There's working stuff. There's surgeries. We're really curious. How do you work with your injuries? What injuries do you have? How did it happen? What does it affect you in your playing? Is there things that you know about that we could help other musicians who maybe are either going to get what you have or have what you have? Is there information you can share? You know, post some stuff on the site. Let us know what you're doing, what you're working with, and
let us know what your injuries are.
Yeah, what are your injuries? You know,
and take care of yourself.
Yes,
guitar players,
take good care of yourself. You belong to me. Okay, so I loved that song when I was a kid. Do you remember that song?
No.
You know, button up your overcoat. Blah, 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 blah. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me.
I was listening to Zeppelin.
Yeah. Okay. That was Captain Kangaroo, I think.
Yeah, I was listening to
You didn't to like Captain Kangaroo?
It was before my time, rather.
Captain Kangaroo. So, anyway, this has been another wonderful episode of Guitar Talk from sunny Lake Mead, Wobegon, Flazoingi, in the middle of nowhere. we're just so happy that you could be with us again. We have more thrilling episodes coming your way. Stay tuned. Same bat time, same bat channel. And please remember to go out to the iTunes site and post reviews. That really helps us get up in the rotations. And keep talking about guitars. Let us know what you think.
There you have it.
Oi. You know, this is what I really feel like when we're talking about something. Oi. My back and my shoulder, and I just want to, what can we do? I mean, it's like, oi, I need some aspirin. What can we do? Are you putting on your glasses?
You got any Advil?
Advil? What do you need Advil for? I got to make, hey, see this right here?
My
see
shoulder.
This? You see this spot right here? It doesn't hurt. Hey, Doc, when I do this, it really hurts. Don't do that.